right, everybody. Hey, so glad you're with us today. I am going to share a little more than just I love them that I did in the opener last night about my kids. This is my wife, Angie, over here. And as we mentioned, we have three sons. We have one who's married and for a couple years. And we're getting ready to be grandparents in January, which is really exciting for us. And then we have a senior at A&M and a freshman at A&M. And today, I'll show you a picture of our family here. So that's my son Easton on the left, Cooper to the right of him, Addie, our daughter-in-law, my son Braden, and there's Ange and I. And man, parenting has been the most humbling thing that the Lord has taken us through, and such a gift, and yet God has used it to shape us. And I think God's been so purposeful with parenting. I just think it's one of those things that you go, man, I realize I can't do this on my own. There is no A plus B equals C. But what we're going to talk about today is broken trust. And this is from a personal experience for Angie and I. And we're going to be really honest with you about all of it, because I think it'll help you see how the Lord worked and what he did in our lives through it. So my son Easton, when he was 17, Angie and I just gotten back from community group. We were getting ready to head to bed, and Easton had been out to dinner with his small group leader, and he came in our room, and he said to us, he said, hey, I need to talk to y'all. And he started to cry. And I'll probably cry today. I'll just tell you that. So we went out to the living room, and Easton was sitting there, and he said, I haven't been honest with y'all for like 2 years now. And we were, okay. And we were shocked and a little bit like, okay, we knew there'd been some struggle for Easton. There'd been some things that he had shared with us. And since they were little, what I would tell my boys and what we would tell our sons is, hey, what do you do when you mess up? And the reason we said, what do you do when you mess up, is because we knew they were going to, because we don't have to look any farther than ourselves and go, man, we're broken people. So when you mess up, and what I'd have them say to me as little boys, as they grew up, I'd have them say, well, we're going to tell you, Dad. And I go, well, why would you tell me? And he goes, because you love us, because you love me, and you're going to help me, and you're going to pray for me, is what I'd have them share back to me. And I wanted that to be true. I wanted that to be always a mark of our family. And so God certainly used that admonition to them to encourage us as parents through the years. And so as we began to hit the teenage years, there were things that would come up. There were different things with our sons where they would break trust. One of our sons early on in junior high, he decided that we were very much encouraging him to wait on any kind of dating thing. That's a whole nother breakout. But we were encouraging him that way, and we found out he was secretly texting with this girl and all kinds of stuff, and so we had to pull him home one day. We pulled him out of school one day, and his face was like, and this particular son, he was a really bad liar, which was a really good thing. Because he'd go like, hey, son, I feel like you're like, what? And I was like, you're lying to us, you know? And so through the years, what would happen is when we would have this with our sons, when they would break trust, we would just talk about trust is our currency. It is the thing that we build our relationship on. And when you're trustworthy, we love, as parents, we love to give you freedom. But when you break trust, it's not loving to you to give you lots of freedom. In fact, you force our hand to do something else, and we hope it's going to cultivate good and righteousness in you. So in this time with Easton, when we went out to the living room and he said, hey, I need to tell you, he goes, I have struggled with pornography for the last 2 years, and I've been hiding it from you. And we have asked, I did student ministry here for 17 years. I did another 9 years before I came here, so 26 years of students. I was very aware of the traps of pornography, of course. And so we were asking him a lot, and he was just denying it. And so he told us that, and he goes, and I've been in a relationship with this girl that I haven't been telling you about, And it's been very unhealthy, and he began to unpack what had happened in this relationship. And we were heartbroken. And I can remember going, oh, man. And, boy, we had to fight a lot of feelings and temptations to respond. So that's what we're going to talk about, is how do we respond when somebody breaks trust in our family, when a son or daughter breaks trust, how do we respond? And then how do we rebuild? And here's what I want to tell you. There's no guarantees on this. Even if you respond really well and you rebuild, you look to do that, they may still choose to go their own way. Easton said it like this to me. He said, Dad, he goes, I knew where home was. I knew what was right. I knew what was life-giving to me. And he goes, and I chose to live in this shack for a little while. That's the way he described it as a young man. I chose to live there. Even though I knew there wasn't life there, I chose to be there. And so after kind of Angie and I both, we cried with him that night. And here's what was hard is he wasn't in a repentant place. Okay, he was in a caught place. Y'all know the difference in those two? So one leads to godly sorrow, right? And one leads to worldly sorrow. He was in worldly sorrow place. And he would just say, hey, I'm frustrated. And I'm going to tell you how this is what was really cool. In God's sovereignty and in his purposes, he used some small group leaders to expose this and to bring it into light, which is so ironic, right, that I got to help start this student ministry, and the very thing that I got to help start, God used in my own son's life, really all three of them. But what had happened was there was a girl at his school that went to her small group leader, and she said, hey, Easton Brown's not doing well. And she goes, oh, okay, well, she just happened to be married to Easton Brown's small group leader. And so she went to hubby and said, hey, I'm hearing Easton's not doing well. And so this small group leader reaches out to Easton and goes, hey, I hear you're in a bad spot. And he goes, man, would you like to get together? And he said, yes. He took the opportunity, I want to get together. So Easton confessed to him that night and then came home and confessed to us. And so what I want to talk to you guys about today is all the kind of what we went through as we thought about and prayed about responding to broken trust, because it's hard. And let's just acknowledge, it's painful. We cried a lot. And I can remember that night, we had one of our community group guys came over. I was on the phone with Blake and Mickey, you know, like Holmes, Mickey Friedrich. We were talking. I was like, man, I just want to let y'all know what's going on. And so here's where I want to start today. Is I want you to... the first thing I would tell you is this, when you are responding, it's not a time to yell, it's a time to love. And that was some of the best counsel I got that night. Now, when we talk about what love looks like, it doesn't mean that we're going to talk about discipline, we're going to talk about consequence, we're going to talk about all that. But our temptation, here's our temptation, when somebody breaks your trust, we are just tempted to let them have it. And I would tell you, I don't think that will bring the fruit that you want. Okay, for you just to, and there's something in us, isn't there something in us as parents that would go, I got to let them know who's boss. And I think when we do that, the scripture says, like a city with broken down walls, you know, is a man who lacks self-control. And so I love that picture because I go, it's just kind of this, It's not a good place of refuge for a kid when I am just going, well, let me just let them have them, show them who the boss is. That would probably make me feel better for a short season, but it's not going to bring fruit of righteousness for my son. Okay, especially if I'm doing it in this, you know, let me let him have it. And believe me, Angie and I both wanted to let him have it. Okay, there's no doubt about it. And so that was the first counsel I got was, hey, yell at us, don't yell at your kid. And I thought, man, that is so good. I'm going to give you an example. During this season, there was rumors being spread about Easton and his school. And the reality is some of these rumors weren't true, but they could have been because of the choices he's made. And so I was like, hey, buddy, man, I hate that they're sharing or saying things that aren't true about you, but the reality is you've put yourself in a position where they could be, where before... I would go, no way, but from what you've shared with me, the inappropriate relationship you have with this girl who's not a believer, the way that you have hidden your sin has set you up for that. And so this one day, Easton's in his room, and I hear him kind of just frustrated, and he's kind of, you know, throwing things around. Now, he's not putting holes in the wall or anything, but he's just, and that gets all over me. My struggle is that I can be quick to temper. I can escalate. Okay, that's my fighting style. And so I felt myself getting kind of like, man, he's not going to, and so the man of the house, he's not going to be in there, you know, this is my house. I'm going to go in there and tell him not to mess up his, you know, whatever. So I go in there, and I'm getting ready to address him. And my oldest son, just so happened that my oldest son, this was the week of his wedding. So Pastor Braden and Pastor Cooper were home. That's his brothers, and I mean that. And ever since the word, two brothers that love Jesus and love him. And I walk in that room, and I'm getting ready to, and Braden's sitting on the bed while Easton's just kind of having his moment. And Braden looks at me and goes, Dad, no. And I this always gets me. I said, okay. And I kind of stopped. It was like the Lord used my son, my oldest son, to help me. And I said, okay, well, man, I said, Easton, I just want you to know I'm praying for you. And so I just kind of turned my course. And later on with Braden, I said, Bray, what were you seeing there? What were you seeing? And he goes, Dad, it was like Easton's experiencing a death. And he experienced the death of everything he knew. His friends are against him. He was living in the shack, and he's going, I've got to, you know, deal with the pain of what he was dealing with. And he said, when somebody's experienced a death, you love them and you pray for them. And I was like, you're a wise kid. and I thought, that was so good for me. And what I would tell you is that you've got to be ready for all kinds of things that are coming. And let me just allude to these, and I'm going to unpack these a little more, but you got to be in the midst of this, ready for hard. And you guys, oh, really, Bron? We didn't think about that. But you just got to go, hey, this is going to be a hard season. You got to be ready for manipulation. You got to be ready for your kid to start. And man, if you're a soft heart, I can be a little bit more that way. Angie's more even keeled, and she helps me a lot. I'm the feeler. She's a little more this way, which I know is opposite. We'll talk about that later. So I just remember, so I had to be ready for that. You have to be ready for anger from your kids. You got to be ready for them. You got to deal with the opinion of others. You're going to go, am I crazy? You're going to say that. Am I crazy for holding them to this or disciplining them? What am I doing? You're going to battle all that. And so I just want to allude to those, and I'm going to pack them a little more. The second thing I would tell you is we need to trust that discipline is good for our children. Okay, and I'm telling you, this is one I've watched after being in students for so many years, and then with my own kids. It is so tempting. There are times when I go, I just don't want to know. And that is not being a good daddy or a good mom. If I just don't want to know because, and we live in such a way where we go, I hope nothing bad happens. And we're kind of going, I just want to keep rolling and hoping nothing disrupts my life. And the reality is, a good parent, and we haven't always been good parents. We've got plenty to grow in still. But a good parent is going to investigate and engage and be in the middle of it, even if you're scared of what you might find out. Because if you want to help your son or daughter, you've got to be in the game with them. And so trust the discipline. Let me read Hebrews 12. This is a passage you guys are familiar with, I'm sure, but let me read it to you. And have you forgotten the exhortation that addresses you as sons? My son, do not regard lightly the discipline of the Lord, nor be weary when reproved by him. This is Hebrews 12:5. For the Lord disciplines the one he loves, and he chastises every son whom he receives. It is for discipline that you have to endure. God is treating you as sons. For what son is there whom his father does not discipline? Do you hear that? That's assumed. Okay, when in the scripture it's going, of course a good daddy and a good mom disciplines their kids. Okay?
And then it says, if you are left without discipline, in which all have participated, then you are illegitimate children and not sons. Besides this, we have had earthly fathers who disciplined us and we respected them. Shall we not much more be subject to the Father's spirits and live? For they disciplined, these earthly fathers, they disciplined us for a short time as it seemed best them, but he disciplines us for our good, that we may share his holiness. For the moment, all discipline seems painful rather than pleasant, but later it yields the peaceful fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it. That verse, I think, applies both in the discipline from our Father, and it applies to the discipline that we give our sons and daughters. It gives what I wanted for Easton is I wanted, and what we wanted for Easton was him to be in every opportunity to be in the way of the Spirit. And if we didn't discipline him, if we didn't have consequences, we were going to like pacify him. And we were going to pacify him until the next thing that comes. And here's what happens, gang, is it typically escalates. Okay? And so we wanted this to be a season where Easton goes, oh. We want him to go, oh my gosh, I'm in pig slop in a Luke 15 vernacular. And I think it looks good. And you don't want to go, well, no, it's just pig slop. I know you're eating pig slop, but it's not that big a deal. You want to go, okay, Lord, what would you have us do? Discipline is a good thing for our children. I read something by Dr. Thomas Constable, and he's talking about this passage. And he says, a father who neglects to discipline a son is deficient in his capacity as a father, and a son who escapes all discipline is losing out on his sonship. This is a principle which would not be recognized by all schools of thought in this age where permissiveness has such a powerful influence. Permissiveness. We just kind of, well, they're going to be kids. Permissiveness can hurt our sons and daughters. The authority of parents has been so eroded that discipline rarely, if ever, comes into play. It has generally ceased to be part of sonship. It is a small wonder that those brought up in such an atmosphere find genuine difficulty in understanding the discipline of God. So if we don't discipline our sons, and by the way, in our daughters, in a loving way, by the way, this is in love. This is not angry. This is to help them, to teach them, to shape them. And if we just let it go, if Easton would have seen like, oh, this is not that big a deal, I think it would have really hurt him and it would have set him up for the next thing. Well, when I did this last one, it wasn't that big a deal to my parents. And now we'll just keep going. And so we needed to interrupt what the enemy was showing him was intended for evil and was taking him down a path. He was heading down a current that was rough. And we didn't want to just go, hey, let me scoot you over a little bit. We want to go get you out of the river and do whatever it takes to do that. So here's what I would tell you is here's the temptations when you start to go, okay, when I'm disciplining our kids, I want to tell you all the things that you're going to be tempted to do when you're going to be tempted to cave on holding them to things. And I'm going to tell you some reasons why I think, and look, this is what we felt and I've seen. And so here's some examples. The things that are going to make you want to stop holding to what you've, you know, disciplining them is anger and attitude from your son or daughter. Just be ready, okay, that they're going to be frustrated with you. You're going to be the most ridiculous. No parent, you guys are crazy. And they're going to think that at times. And you've got to be the parent here and go, hey, I think maybe, and you don't, it's not in a prideful way, it's just obvious. Hey, I've been down the road. I have a little more time on this earth to know some things, and I'm also seeking God's word, his spirit, his people, so just be ready for it. The next thing is inconvenience. With Easton, just so you know, and I'm going to tell you some of the specifics we did, but you're not going to be able to chapter and verse what specific discipline, but I think it's the heart of the discipline and that you hold to it. Inconvenience. So Easton's car, he's 17 years old. He's a junior in high school. It was parked in front of our house for months. And his phone was ours for months. okay? And it was really inconvenient. Do y'all remember those days when, you're probably, some of you are in this, you had the freshmen, and then they become a sophomore, they start to drive, and you're nervous, of course. You're going, oh, well, there's going to be some accidents out there. But you're also going, isn't this great? I don't have to take them to school, they're driving, it's just convenient. And all of a sudden, our 17-year-old, we were having to figure out how he's going to get to school. We were having to figure out how he's going to, when he has a basketball team dinner, he's going, hey, can I borrow your phone to text my parents? That was embarrassing for him in some way. And we didn't, that wasn't part of our purpose, but it was part of the consequence. And we had to go, I know, man, but this is what we think is best. He had this amazing trip that, this happened December 12th, 2021. We remember it very well. And when it started, I remember we started on this journey. And that April, he was supposed to go on this really fun trip with the school. And he was part of this organization, this thing. They were going to go on this trip. It was going to be amazing. We just say, hey, buddy, I'm really sorry. You're not going to be able to go. You know why? Because we can't trust you right now. We can't wait to trust you again. But right now, we don't trust you. And that's the place we are. And so that trip is going away. Now, I wasn't angry, and we weren't angry. So that's just the consequence. And you know what happens? Here's what happens. Well, he has a couple good weeks. You know, maybe we should, we told him, but maybe we should let him. No, we needed to let that consequence have its weight. And that was a good thing for him. So, inconvenience for you. You have to get over the deal that you might look like a strict parent. Easton did a podcast with Will on, and read about, what was it about being a strict parent? It was something along those lines. Hey, what do you do when your parents are strict? And Easton's answers really blessed me, because I was like, he goes, hey, I think they know better than me at that point. This was later on in the deal. Now, at first, it was hard. Okay? So, you may look, and you have to get over this. Some people are going to go, man, you're really coming down on him, you know? And I go, no, I'm trying to help him. I'm trying to help him. Here's another thing. You might wrestle with, I just don't like taking things away from my kid. They're sad. They seem kind of like they're discouraged. And that was hard. There's times I was like, dang, man, he's actually had a good last month here, and I want to start. But what we were doing was responding initially and starting to rebuild. And so we had to work through that. You start going through things in your mind like, well, they're better than other kids. They're not as bad as, we start comparing and we start basing what we want to do based on looking around. And that typically is not a good thing to think about. Comparison, most of the time, you have to decide before the Lord and with community and the Spirit's leading and God's word, what you're going to do, how you're going to respond. And to not look around. What you can move to quickly is also as you want to move to a victim mentality. Like, well, it was those other kids that he was hanging with. That's what hurt Easton. He's a good kid. Okay? The reality is we all have a heart that can move away from the Lord. We all are prone to wander. And so what happens sometimes is I wanted to defend him. And I went, no, this is where he is. And it was good for us to go, this is where our son is. And we not only said that to each other, we said that to our community group. We go, we want you to know exactly what's happened. And we didn't try to sugarcoat it. Okay, and that was good for us. We had to go, okay, Lord, this is where we are. And it made us more dependent. So the third thing I would tell you to do is inquire of the Lord. If any of y'all are on the journey right now, you're seeing over and over when David inquired of the Lord, or when kings didn't inquire of the Lord, or any of that, you see the results. And so the first thing we did was like, Lord, what would you have us do? And one of the first things that the Lord laid on my heart to do was, I'm going to show you this, but it was to write a note to Easton every day for a year. And I just felt led to do this. You can see this is one of them. This is day 12 of your journey to walk in freedom. And what I would do is, these weren't novels. Okay, these weren't amazing works of art. I just said, look, here's what God's word says about you. here's how much I love you, and here's how I'm encouraging you today. And I did it every day for a year. And when I would miss, when I'd feel, I'd write a couple, or when he was going to camp, I'd write 14 days ahead, and I'd send them with him, so he'd open them up at camp every day. And I'm going to tell you what the Lord did in my heart, the way he increased my love for Easton by doing this was a gift to me. And you don't have to, I'm not saying if you write 365 notes to your kid that everything's going to be great. I'm just saying what you look for is, Lord, what would you have me do? And I spent time, and that's where I felt really like, okay, Lord's going, just make sure he knows you love him. Make sure you know that I love him even more than you do, Bron, and encourage him every day you can. So that was one thing. The other thing we did was I just started with him. I just said, you know what? I'm going to do intentional nights with him. And we got into sushi, okay? And that was bad for the pocketbook. That was bad for the budget. But it was good for me and Easton. And so we would just go, every little bit, I'd go, hey, I think it's a sushi night, man. We're going. So what I didn't want him to hear in this discipline was, oh, we don't want to be around you. We want to be around you. In fact, it made room for us to deepen our love and time with him. And look, sometimes those were great. Sometimes he might, but, you know, those can be hard, right? You go, if he's got an attitude, he's like, well, I guess I'll go hang with Dad, you know. But most of the time, and some of this is connected, right? I was every day telling him I love him. Every day I was reminding him of truth every day. And so when you stack these things on, it gives an opportunity potentially, not always, potentially for the Spirit to move. So we did that. We just looked for encouraging opportunities. Anytime we saw him doing something that was trustworthy, we'd go, hey, man, that was amazing. What you just did tonight, when you said that, that really encourages us. And we're really proud of you. That is another step towards rebuilding trust with us. And we're so glad that, and we would do that. I remember one time we would thank him when he was rebuilding trust. We'd go, man, thank you so much, son, for just coming in and telling me that you were tempted today. Or 2 weeks after is that I found a phone in the house, I powered it up, and I looked at porn. Okay? So thank you. The heart that is well is the heart that tells. That's a good thing. Okay? And what Easton would say on the confession side was, Dad, I confessed a few times and it didn't work, and then I got defeated in it. And I was like, well, buddy, confession is a daily thing. It's a living in the light. And so we got to help teach him that and disciple him in that. I remember one time we were at a fine dessert establishment called Brahms, and we were in there, we were in the drive-thru, and at one point, Easton, we were just talking, and he said, you know, Dad, there's all these friends, they're all doing something tonight, and he goes, I'm good. And I go, Easton, you know, this was probably 3 months in, and I just said, hey, buddy, you know you can ask us if you go. And he goes, I know, I could. He goes, but man, I feel like I have earned where I am right now, and I'm okay with what's going on. And I go, that is a very mature way to respond to this, buddy. That's a Spirit-led response. And so anytime I could encourage him that way, and Angie could encourage him, we did that. The other thing we would do is yeah.
I'm sorry, Martha, I may have missed the beginning, but how old was he?
17. Yes, 17. So he's now 19 and he's at A&M. And I'll explain some more about that. That's a good question. The other thing I would do is I would just check in on him. Angie and I would check in on him. Hey, how are you doing? How can we be praying for you? And we were not moving away from relationship. We're deepening relationship in the middle of this. And you just got to be ready for them to go, I don't want to be in a relationship with you right now because you're disciplining me. But you just faithfully, one of the things we can do as parents, and this is super hard, so don't hear anything I'm saying like, guys, it's real simple. It was tough. It is tough. But one thing we want to do is, I think one of the secrets of parenting is to be consistent and calm. And man, it's hard because I'm a guy who struggles with escalating. So I want to be consistent and let them have it a little bit and then ask forgiveness, okay? And so I just would tell you when you blow it, which we did, I'll tell you about some ways we didn't do well and how I had to ask forgiveness for that. So we made room for confession opportunities. And we just kept reminding them, hey, what are you going to do when you mess up? You come tell us. Okay? The fourth thing is be ready for frustration traps. Okay? And here are some things that happened with me. One time I remember we were in the hall and Easton was kind of had an attitude about, well, man, he was kind of frustrated. I can't figure out how I'm going to get to school and all that. And I remember I'm a positivity guy. So when he's saying all that, I'm kind of like, okay, great. And I remember saying to him, I said, hey, this is where I frustrate. I go, you know, you're the reason we're in this spot. And right after I kind of felt better for a second, I went away from that and I go, it's like the Lord goes, he knows. He knows. And what you did was you just rubbed in his face and shamed him. That's what you did. And so I went back to Easton and I said, hey, I know that you know we're here because of your sin and what happened. And for me to say that to you was a frustration and it was a venting from me. And will you forgive me for that? And he did. And so there are times when there's frustration traps like that. You might be tempted to say things like, I trust you about as far as I can throw you right now. That'd be another one, okay, that you're just frustrated. And when you feel that, man, take a breath. James 1:19 there, step away from that. Be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger. Ask the Lord. You know what this takes? The Spirit's help. And I go, this has been one of the greatest gifts of this season for us is that our relationship with the Lord deepened through this. Our love for him deepened. Our dependence on him deepened. And so that was a good thing. We said things like, we were tempted to say things like, well, we'd love to leave ourselves. We're grounded too. Because you're here. We can't go out. Angie and I are stuck here too. That would be another way to shame, guilt, make him feel like, and it just wasn't helpful. But we attempted to do all that. Now we have to drive you everywhere. Can you imagine? You're 17. Boy, we had a date night plan, but now we got to drive you to. So it's just little jabs, right? And I didn't inquire of the Lord for those jabs. I didn't go, hey, Lord, would you have me give East a little jab here? And he was like, blessings, Ron, go do that. No. So I just could feel when so knowing that you got to know what your ditches are, you know, for mine, anger can be mine. Yours might be withdrawing. You might go, I just don't want to be around them. I can do that too. It might be you become businesslike. You become apathetic. You may be a really soft, such a softy that if they give you a little bit of like, can't we? And you start going back on what you said you were going to do. And I think that can make room for them to go, well, it's maybe make less room for the Spirit to work, potentially. Okay? So you just got to be ready for those things. The fifth thing I would tell you is you need to let others in. And there's lots of reasons why we'd be tempted not to let others in. Because we're embarrassed. Because I didn't love to go. But I was calling brothers. I mean, Rob and I are really good friends. It's not just a stage thing. We're really good buddies. And Rob came over, man, and I was crying with him, going, man, we were heartbroken. And these friends came along and prayed. Our community group knew all that's going on. And they got to pray with us and help us and counsel us. And it was a very, very good thing. Some of the counsel I got to not yell at your son, but to love him. This is a chance to love him. That was important for me. We had to fight the temptation, as I mentioned earlier, to justify or use cover-up statements with our community group, like to kind of make it not as, oh, isn't that bad? You know, he's a good guy. We had to go, no, here's where he is. He's in a ditch. We're not doing well. Okay, and that was good for us. It made us go, and you know what? When you do that with people, do you guys realize how that might free them up to be honest about what's going on in their home? Because there's stuff going on in homes everywhere, guys. We realize that, right? So to do that is a big deal. And then so we just were, we weren't trying to minimize it, and we weren't trying to protect, and we were trying to be as honest, because we wanted people to pray specifically for what was going on with E. Sixth thing is, I would say, see the opportunity to love your kids when they're hard to love. You know, this is where some real parenting can begin. I think this is true, guys. You can back me up. But if your kid's doing well, they make good grades, they obey you, everything's going great, then that's a pretty easy time to love them. I think folks who don't know Jesus and don't have the Spirit in them love their kids pretty well. Like, well, it's awesome. You know, you got the bumper sticker, my kid made an A in every class or whatever. I don't know what it's. So I get it. When everything is going well, it's easy to love them. And it was like this realization of, oh, Lord, now we get a chance to show Easton what sacrificial, unconditional love looks like. And here's the deal, Lord, I can't do it. I can do the other one easy because I can do it on my own strength. Jeremiah 17 says, cursed is the one who trusts in his own strength, but blessed is the one who trusts in the Lord, whose trust is the Lord. He's like a stream planted by waters. He bears fruit in and out of season. He doesn't worry when the drought comes. That's Jeremiah 17, 5 through 8. And that's one you're going to have to depend on and go, Lord, I just got to plant myself near you every day, because if I don't, nothing good's going to come out. Old analogy I heard was the end of the milk jug where you've got it, it's got the junk at the bottom, you're kind of washing it out. And he goes, you can imagine what we do sometimes is we just have that bottom sludge and we just kind of try to stir that up and get something good out of that. And the Lord's going, no. You need the living water of me to wash you out and clean, and that you would respond in the Spirit to when it's hard. I think that's when Jesus said, love your enemies, right? He was challenging to go, man, that's what a believer does. Someone that the Spirit indwells. Easton wasn't our enemy, but man, some days it felt like it. And we had to love him in a supernatural way. So the challenge for you, and this is maybe some questions to think about, is do I really want to know what's going on? Are you willing to be diligent and pay attention? We were not checking in some ways like we should have. And with his phone, we gave him a lot of trust. He had things that you guys know, right? If they want to get on to porn, if they want to do that, they can figure out ways to do it. Easton was going through, there was an app he was going through that I would have no idea that he could get, but it just got him to a browser and then he could do what he wants. So if you think that, well, we took Safari off and it's okay, that's what we thought. And we would check, but we just didn't check enough. We just weren't. There was another time when he was out with some friends, there were some girls that he was hanging with, and I remember I came home to Angie and I go, man, I just got a bad vibe with that. I'm not sure those are the best. And instead of us really talking and praying about that, we kind of just let it go, because we had a high trust in Easton. And what we learned was, is we needed to investigate more there, not in a what's going on and all that, but just more of, hey, bud, just asking good questions. And sometimes we just, a lot of assuming. You know, you guys are hanging out at the park late, assuming you're doing great things. Okay, but here's what else we knew, is we knew a lot of these friends were not, they were good kids, but they weren't walking with Jesus, okay? And so we just needed to do more investigating, not in a fearful, kind of deal, but more in a, hey, we love you and we want to know what's going on. So here's another opportunity that's going to come from this. Embrace the dependence on Christ. Embrace it. Surrender your desire to want to control and live in fear and pride and all those things. And if you are in those places, I am lots of days, just to go, Lord, would you help me to love? Would you help Angie and I to love Easton and not be fearful, and so we don't want to know what's going on, or prideful, and we're going to let him have it because we're going to show him who the boss is, or in control where we're going, ultimately, you love him more than we do. And that's hard to believe because we love this boy. But it's true. This can be a chance for you and your spouse if that's the case, if you have to grow closer. For Angie and I, this is, we knew. I've watched it too many times. It was either a chance for us to kind of go this way with each other or move towards each other. And we prayed a lot that the Lord would keep us united, that the Lord would move us towards each other, that we would listen to each other, that the spirit that's in her and the spirit that's in me would be led that way. So here's some lessons from rebuilding now. Here's what I'd tell you. In the rebuilding, so those were a lot of the response. And in the rebuilding side, I would tell you to wait for the Lord to bring repentance. I was sometimes impatient with Easton. I thought for sure he needs to ask our forgiveness for what he did. And if you guys have been in that situation where you're trying to lead them to the right, now repeat after me. I'm sorry for the way that I, and that doesn't go so well. And so what I had to do was, I would say, hey Easton, there is some hurt and pain that you've caused us, and man, we love you, but I would make sure he knew that, not in a piling on, but when we would have conversations. And then I just said to Lord, would you move, would your spirit bring, like the scripture says, godly sorrow, not worldly sorrow. Worldly sorrow is going to be temporary and only last for a short season, when godly sorrow will bring real change. And so that was something that we prayed. Ask the Lord, here's a good one, man. Ask the Lord for compassion on how hard it is to be a teenager today. I'm just going to tell you, you guys, if you're in this place, can you believe these kids? Let me just tell you, if I would have had a Playboy magazine, basically, that shows how old I am, in my pocket every day, and I could open up that phone and look at Playboy, I don't know how good I'd have done either. And I'd have need some parent help. I'd have need parents to go, man, we're going to help you. I'd have need small group leaders' help. I'd have need others to help me with this. If I had that in my pocket every day, I mean, the addiction of pornography, we're not going to get too deep in that, right? But that'd be one example with our son. It is so powerful. And it was a hit daily for you. So ask the Lord to give you, recognize and empathize with the challenge if your kid is trying to be or is a follower of Christ. If they would say, hey, I am a believer, that it is tough sledding in today's culture to stand for Jesus. I'd ask my sons on the football team, I'd say, hey, how many guys do you think are, does anybody, you know, walk with you and go, I don't know, Dad. And I'd go, come on, there's got to be, you know. But there's a tough current going here. So you want to have empathy and compassion and be prayerful for them. Here's the next one. You ought to do everything you can to keep the relationship, but not anything you can. This is an important one. Do everything you can. And what I mean by that is, I think this mantra, I want to keep the relationship, if you go too far with that, you will not discipline and love your kid, I think, in a way that will allow them to be in the way of the Spirit. And I'm watching it. In families, I'm watching it in us when we would want to cave. But I would just tell you that I don't think it would have been loving for me to go when Easton was frustrated or he manipulated me into going, well, shouldn't I be able to go on that trip? I go, no, we want to be consistent. We want to hold to what we said. We think this is the right consequence. And we're not going to let a reactive, you're really frustrated, and it'll just be easier not to have you be frustrated, so we're going to let you do something that we said we weren't. And so a great way to parent in the midst of this is to say, if you do this, this is what's going to happen, and we're going to hold to it. And then you're not in this constant, he's not surprised, and you're being reactive, and you're being angry, and we had to think through what we were going to do. And sometimes we would say things like, Easton, I don't know when you're going to get your car back. And we'll know when it's time. So we weren't going, you're going to get your car back on March 21st, because we didn't do that. And we decided, and we want to, but we knew, we can't wait to trust you again. When we feel like that's there, we'll begin to let you back into some of these freedoms. But until then, we're reestablishing trust. Anything in that statement, anything you can, I just want them to be happy. That is not a good answer, I don't believe, guys, before the Lord, that you'd go, man, I just hope he can stay happy. Sometimes we all know God uses pain to teach us. God uses consequences. God uses things like that. If we don't ever experience pain from our sin, then, man, we'll just keep rolling. And God in his mercy lets us experience when we move away from him that there is consequence. That is a good thing. Consequence is a good teacher. So let me leave you with just some hope here. And I want to say this carefully. You could do all these things really well, and Easton could have decided that I'm just going to keep going down my path. And we would have had to keep going, okay, well, this is the next thing. If this would have happened his senior year and we were heading into college, I don't think Easton would have gone off to college. I can just tell you, we would have gone, hey, man, we love you, but I'm telling you, we'd have to be at a place where we fully trust you to send you off into Collegeville, okay? So thankfully, it happened a year and a half from it, and he got to reestablish trust with us and have a lot of freedom from pornography, and just God was doing some good things there. But if he would have continued down that path, we'd have continued saying, well, man, here's what these decisions have led us to this. And so, but with Easton, just to give you some hope, you never know when the Lord is going to grab your son or daughter. You don't want to give up on it. You want to pray. You want to be consistent. You want to keep pointing them to Jesus. You want to do all you can, realizing that you can't control their decisions. But with Easton, what happened with him is as we were investing in him and as the Lord began to soften his heart. And I can remember sitting in my office with him and he would be crying saying, Dad, I'm convicted about things I haven't ever been convicted about. And so he'd say, man, this has just reassured me of how real God is, how my relationship, how real it is, how the Spirit is convicting him of things two steps away that I've never even thought about. And so one of the first things he got to do was share his testimony at Shoreline. And he came home that night and he goes, Dad, he goes, I never thought I was going to be able to share my testimony at Shoreline. And because I couldn't really let people know the real me. And so he got to share his testimony there. And he goes, Dad, I shared everything and it feels so good. He went to Regen for Students. That was another thing. We said, hey, we want you to go do that. We think it'll be a blessing to you. He ended up sharing at Regen for Students several times later of how God at work. You know, the very school that all these rumors were going about around about him that weren't true, all of a sudden his testimony was going around the school and guys were coming up to going, hey, that talk you gave at Shoreline, because I've listened to that like seven times. This guy on the basketball team that didn't even know if he's a believer. So he got to hear the gospel seven times. So God can he can make beauty from ashes. Don't ever lose that hope. You don't have to look any farther than yourself. He brought you from death to life. He brought you from darkness to light. You have an amazing testimony because of Jesus. And we don't ever want to forget that. We saw his heart soften, like I said. He went and asked forgiveness from the girl who told on him because he was mad at her at first. And he went to her and he said, you did me a big favor. That you went and told your small group leader was the way God brought my stuff in the light, and I'm so glad and I'm thankful, and please forgive me for having anger towards you. Then he went to the girl that he led so inappropriately, and he went to her and he met her after school and he said, I need to ask your forgiveness because I was a terrible example of a Christ follower and the way that I treated you and the way that I was inappropriate physically with you. And she said, good people do bad things. And he goes, I'm not good. Only the Lord is good. And he has made me, my heart new. He is working on me. And I was like, oh, Easton, I couldn't have said that better. I love that God, through his Spirit, did that. The Lord just continued to draw his heart to himself. He began to have a ministry on the football team and on the basketball team with guys, just sharing with them, bringing them to church, doing things that he wouldn't have done before because his heart was hard. Hebrews 3:13, he was hardened by sin's deceitfulness. And see, all of this time to put him in the way of the Spirit and to slow down and get him away from his addictions made room for the Spirit to work. And it was right and good that the Lord allowed us to discipline him this way. Our relationship grew with him. We would just tell you that, man, our love for him increased. I miss him like crazy right now that he's off at school. I'm just like, he's really busy at A&M, and we're like, we can't wait for him to come home for Thanksgiving. We just can't wait. So our relationship increased. And I can tell you there were seasons with him where we'd be at the dinner table when he was a sophomore, and this is kind of when this stuff started, and he'd be like, and you're like, hey, man, well, how's your day?
Fine.
Oh, great. Well, man, is there anything else that the Lord might lead you to tell us besides, you know, that kind of thing. That's it. I just like, it was like, I was depressed after hanging with them at dinner table. So, but isn't it amazing when the Spirit grabs a hold in a way that's different? You just go, and again, God uses these things. He can use them. He can redeem what the enemy meant for evil. And so I just want to encourage you with that. My encouragement to you tonight is, man, just to not lose hope. And we have a hope in Christ. We don't know when he's going to move. We have folks in our community group who have had prodigal sons, and we've watched through years the Lord begin to bring that kid back, and parents doing hard things. And so you want to be someone, is what I think you want to leave is, the Lord, I, before you, even in all my mess ups, love covers a multitude of sins. You know, I even in all that, Lord, what I trust is that I was seeking you, I was praying for my son or daughter, and I was doing all I could to put them in the way of the Spirit. And so, man, the last thing I would tell you is the greatest thing you can do for your son or daughter is your personal walk with Jesus, your daily dependence on him. If you try to take this on by yourself, you will be helpless and powerless, and God is being merciful to you to not let you do it on your own. And he's being merciful to me. And so if you want to know, the best parenting advice I can give you is to go, man, abide with Jesus daily. And you go, oh man, I've heard this one before, but are you doing it? Are you doing it? Are you sitting with the Father? Are you going, Lord, this is my prayer each day. Lord, if you don't show up today, if your Spirit doesn't reign, I'm going to screw this up. And I mean it. I'm not just saying that. I'm going, Lord, I need you every hour. As I prayed for y'all, I prayed specifically for whoever you had for this time. Lord, don't let it be my words. Or anything that's not of you, would it fall on deaf ears? May they not hear it and not heed it. But anything that is from you, would you let it settle, and would you do a work in your lives and in your kids' lives? And man, we need the Lord. And that is one good thing that comes from having kids who are have broken our trust. You're probably in one of three places. Either you may be heading towards it, you're in the middle of it, or maybe you've gone through it and you've got another one, you're going, it could happen with them too. And Lord, I just want to be ready. And I can't be ready if I'm not spending time deepening my love for Jesus. It's the greatest offense you have. Let me pray for you. Father, thank you for each person in here. I don't know where they are. Lord, if today is just a painful day for them as we're talking about this, would you just comfort them? Your word says that a broken spirit and a contrite heart you do not despise, that you're near to the brokenhearted, and it's okay for us to be brokenhearted. We can admit that to you, and we can bring it to you, and you meet us. And Lord, we just cry out, apart from you, Psalm 16, we have no good thing. So would you help us to believe that again today, to surrender to you, in view of your mercy, to present ourselves as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is our spiritual act of worship, as Romans 12 tells us. And Lord, may you use anything from today to encourage and spur on my brothers and sisters here. We love you. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. Thanks for coming, guys. The next one's at 10:15. And so you got 15 minutes to get to your next breakout.